in our series, we're talking about fight the good fight of faith. And so we've been talking about why we need to commit to it last week. And today we're going to talk, there's six big hindrances to fighting the good fight of faith. And so we're going to talk half of them, or maybe a couple of them as the time allows, and kind of set you up for the next week, the rest of the big hindrances. Now we're going to open again with the same scripture text in 1 John 5, 1 John, the first epistle of John chapter 5, verse 1. He says in the King James through 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everybody say, I'm born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, this is the key verse, highlight and underline that one if you can. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So we shared last week that faith is our victory. Faith is our victory. Everybody say, faith is my victory. So whatever situation you're facing confronts you, that conflicts you in your life, causes chaos in your life, what can overcome it? Faith, your faith in God. So the experience of victory is done through the exercise of our faith in God. The experience of victory is done through the exercise of our faith in God. So to walk in victory, to live in victory, to undergo a fight from our adversary, the devil, and come out victorious is a byproduct of our active, consistent, and confident expression of faith in God, in the finished works of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and in the Word of God. See, faith is a lifestyle based upon God, a relationship with God, his faithfulness, his honor, and his love and goodness, and his word, the revealed truth, the higher truth, the unchanging word of God. See, faith is a confident act to believe, boldly speak, and act upon the word of God. Faith is simply your belief in action. And as we shared in this verse, emphasizing verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This word overcometh in the Greek is a word, interesting word, that where we get to a famous shoe brand. It's called Nikos in the Greek, where they get the word Nike. It means to conquer. It means to carry off the victory. It means to come off victorious. But what do we overcome? The world. The world is the Greek word cosmos, which means anything the god of this world, Satan, ever attempts to throw at us. An ordered system, so to speak, such as things like society, culture, government, economics, nature, and even science. So those are the things that we, through the exercise of our faith in God, in the finished works of Jesus, and in the Word of God, can overcome with. Isn't that good? And so last week we shared about why faith. Why do we need faith, Pastor? I'm glad you asked, because you need to know the why before the what. See, Romans 1, 17, 16 and 17, excuse me, 16 and 17, Romans 1, 16 and 17, for it says, I am not ashamed, Paul speaking to the church at Rome, the Roman church, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation. Sometimes people say, well, I need more power. No, the power of God is in the gospel. You don't need more power, you need more gospel. And that means the same power that was in the event of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is in the message. You just need to have faith in that message, and then the power is there. Whew. Glory to God. He said, to everyone who believes. See, this is power for salvation for everyone who, what? Believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? By faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith. That means our manner of living or lifestyle should be by faith. We don't live by what we see. We don't live off of what we feel or hear or experience at the moment in the natural. We live by the word. We live by our faith sense and not just common sense. Hallelujah. So we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not, nor to be ashamed to live a lifestyle of faith. Now, if you're going to live a lifestyle of faith, there are going to be frequent and often occurrences where you're required to fight the good fight of faith. So some people say, well, are you talking, Pastor, to get my fist up? No, I'm not talking about your fist fight. I'm talking about a faith fight, the good fight of faith. See, faith is not a doctor position or a movement. Faith is a way of life. It's a way we're supposed to live as born-again believers and Christ followers. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For two main reasons. Because, number one, because he found his total identity in Christ. We find in Galatians 2:20, he says about himself, he says, I am crucified with Christ. With is an identification tag. He said, in union and in fellowship with Christ. He said, I am the same Christ that died on the cross. I died there with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives on the inside of me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 says, do not frustrate the grace of God. So it's the power of God and salvation to everyone believe. So he said, if I keep believing in this gospel, it provides every day and in every way for my salvation, my deliverance, my healing, my protection, my safety, my soundness, my wholeness. And I get my name written down in heaven. This is word that the Greek word salvation is the word. It's an all-encompassing word. It just doesn't mean I get fire insurance. I don't go to hell and I go to heaven and I just live just horribly here on earth. It means soteria. It means it covers everything I need. For in it is the power of God unto salvation of everybody. And we see, secondly, because he knew his vision in life. He said the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Righteousness just means God's way of doing things and being right. So God has a way of doing things and being right that are right because he is righteous. He is the only righteous God. He's the Most High God. Come on now. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the God who's more than enough. He's the God who breathed the breath of life and created the words that we read now contained in the Holy Bible. It's his word. His word is right. Let God be true and everyone else a liar. So the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to what? Faith. In other words, you don't get it revealed if you're not believing to receive it. Some people just want information, but they don't want revelation. And see, Adam fell from revelation to information because he was in the glory of God 24/7, 365 in that sense. And when he fell, he didn't just fall from the glory, because it was original sin, but there was also original glory. He fell from revelation to information. We're in the information age. You're getting data and input all over the place, particularly if you're on social media a lot. You're getting a lot of voices and a lot of inputs from everywhere. That's a lot of information, but you don't need more information. Because some people just want, I just got to have another Bible study, another devotional, another this. Maybe the answer, no, it's not information to information. He said the righteousness of God is revealed. How? From faith to faith. That means I exercise my faith for more light, more revelation, more illumination from God. I'm trying to figure out what God wants me to do, what God wants me to go, what he's calling me to do. Well, you're not going to get it here. You're going to get it here by faith. You see, that's why Paul was so crystal clear on what he was supposed to do for life, his vision for life. Because he got it by faith. Everybody say, you got to get it by faith. So that's an answer to a $1,000 question right there. Hallelujah. But why faith? Why is faith so important to our everyday lives? Well, the first big why is faith is how our Father functions. We said that last week, just kind of reviewing a little bit. He doesn't function through fear or unbelief. God does not function. So if you're in fear and unbelief, then you're out of the way of how God, our Father, functions. Faith is not optional, friends. It is required and mandatory. So every day we said, you can take a vacation, but don't take a faith vacation or a vacation from your faith. You might say, well, I don't really have nothing to really exercise in my faith on. Well, just exercise your faith for somebody else. Give me some of it. We need a lot of stuff around the church. Put your faith on that. You're not supposed to be going faithless. Or taking a faith vacation. Hallelujah. Let's look at an example here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 through 6, 5 and 6. Example here in Scripture. I'm going to read it off the screen. By faith, by what? By faith. That's the birth canal. That's the transition point. From the spiritual to the natural, from the supernatural to the experiences of reality here in the now and now. By faith. Everybody say, by faith. Enoch was taken away so that he was not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now listen to this next verse, verse 6. But without what? It's what? To please God. So we're supposed to live to please God. And the principal and primary way we please God is we give him our faith. Have faith in God. And when we trust him, when we believe in him. So he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So sometimes you got to allow the Holy Spirit through the word to be your faith coach. Because Jesus has taken his position as the author and finisher or developer of your faith. So you ought to subordinate yourself every day under the lordship of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, okay, you said you're the author and the developer of my faith. I receive you now as the author and finisher of my faith. So I have to walk in faith today. So what's the next step for me to grow in my faith? Amen. Now, I'm being real practical and instructional in that context because everybody needs to know, how does it work on my everyday context? Don't just use your faith when you need something big or you got a big problem. Use your faith, release your faith every day because the just shall live by what? Live by faith. It is not optional. It is mandatory. The second big why of faith is faith is what pleases our Father God. See, we said before, God is not pleased when we're not receiving. Because when you start believing, that's when you start receiving. God's not pleased when we're not receiving. And he is not pleased when we're not overcoming. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Right? So make God happy. Religion tells us and teaches us that we have to live by doing good and acting good, keeping all the rules. But faith is a life and a lifestyle based on a relationship, not rules, relationship with God and his word. Some people are rule conscious and they become legalistic. And says, well, Lord, I don't know why you're not healing me or not doing this. Why not? You didn't answer my prayer. Because I did all this and I checked all these blocks. Well, God's not looking for that. He's looking for faith. Faith. Now, you're supposed to do that and be a good Christian. Amen. And live holy. And you're supposed to act good. Right? But you're not trying to merit something God's already provided. If he's given it, it takes our faith to receive it. Come on, somebody give me a hallelujah. So we should live and to do good, but it shouldn't be to earn merits, points, credits with God, deserve more of his love, healing, blessings, whatever, from God. See, we are to have faith in God. And because when you have a heart full of faith, you can change the situations in your home, in your relationship with your children or grandchildren, in your physical body, or in your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. Because if you're a real gloomy, moody person, or you quickly get into discouragement and depression, you could stop that and reverse that by hallelujah. And so in your sphere of influence, you can shift things by faith. So we should allow the word of God to reshape us so that everything we do is from faith, through faith, and by faith. Amen. I'll read Galatians 2. I'm just going to read 16 and 20 through 21, verse 16, 20 through 21. Knowing that no man is justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. See, the faith we use is his. He's given us to us. We all have a measure, been dealt a measure of the God kind of faith. Faith to move mountains, faith to change our world. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? Justified. So somebody can't do good enough. We can't do good enough to earn something God's given by grace. Can't do it. Amen. Look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ, no longer I who live, excuse me, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So you got to, that's why he said three components you got to trust. The finished works of Jesus. Because he did it all. But your faith is in what he has done, not what you can do. Stop trying to be the hero. There's only one. It's Jesus Christ. And he gets all the glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So we can train ourselves to be faith first responders, friends, instead of getting angry, getting upset, getting negative, pointing the blame, posting and sharing ungodly, unholy, unrighteous texts or things on social media. We can be faith responders. Amen. See, if we don't live by faith, it frustrates God's grace. Now, we said grace is all that God has given. And what frustrates a giver? We talked about the three types of gifts. I'm not going to go through all that. But we receive the gifts that have been given. We know season of Christmas is a season of giving, right? Also, so what would make you kind of and snarl a little bit? That person don't want to receive your gift when you took time enough to go buy it and purchase it for them. That you felt that would be really nice for them to have, and they go, "No, that's okay." Your heart would probably drop. How would you and I frustrate God? By not living by faith. And not living by faith frustrates God. Again, what frustrates a giver? Those gifts not being received. And what has been given by grace must be possessed and received by faith. So all that God has given will go unenjoyed and not experienced unless and until someone rises up by faith to receive it. So you reach out and receive with the hand of faith. Is everybody seeing this? I'm trying to make sure everybody gets. Living by faith doesn't involve quitting. You're going to live by faith and that's it. Period. You don't change. You don't cancel it. There's no expiration tag on your faith living or faith lifestyle. If we took a poll today, this morning, and went around, what do you believe in God for? Everybody ought to have something that they're trusting God, believing God for. Amen. Because that's your faith growing is so important to the entire your entire house and family. Grace is all that God's given. Faith is how we get and receive what God has given. Now, here's the third why. Faith gives access to what grace has given. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. We access what faith has been given. We often say the phrase, grace makes, faith takes. Everybody say it with me. Say grace makes, faith takes. But faith takes what grace has made. So why do you need to study the word of his grace, the Bible? So you can find out what has been made available to you so that your faith can take it and receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about fighting the good fight of faith. So we here, see, we are here to learn how to walk by faith, talk by faith, and respond by faith. In other words, we do things like God does them, by faith. But 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. See, the only option to not fighting the good fight of faith is to be destroyed and defeated. So in other words, you accept and acquiesce to destruction and defeat because I chose not to live by faith or fight the good fight of faith. See, it's our decision to fight or not fight because faith is a force, but faith is also a choice. So living by faith entails and involves fighting. Not fist fighting, friends. Not verbal fighting. It is fighting the good fight of faith. That's the only fight we're supposed to be in. And if you're not fighting, you may not be in faith. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So we fight to overcome fears, our doubts, any unbelief that may creep up or try to overtake us, or disobedience when it comes to our Father God's will and work. You got to fight to stay on course. and stick to the call and finish the work and will of God in your life. As the psalmist was portrayed in the book of Acts, they said about David, he served his generation according to the will of God. You and I are to serve our generations according to the will of God. And it takes faith to do that. We have to acknowledge and assess who we are in Christ and what we possess in him, and actually actively, obediently, and obediently as ordered upon his holy word. And we fight to get, to stay, and to stand in faith when times, during the times of trouble, they're trying or tense or transitional or turbulent. These seasons and situations that we all experience, we have to stand and stay and get in faith. Remember, we're not fighting the devil. That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus defeated the devil, so he's a defeated foe. We have to deal with the devil. And he's after our faith. He doesn't care nothing about you. He said, well, you're not better than a slice of bread or sliced cheese. Sometimes we might think we are. But the Bible says persecution and affliction come for the word's sake. Because he said, if I can get the word out of you, I can get the faith out of you. And faith is the only thing that can defeat me in my system of the world. So he tries to get you out of faith. And when he gets you out of faith, he takes you away from you your victory. That's why you have to fight. Amen. So he's spiritually dead. He can only use deceptive thoughts. He can only deal with you on the reason realm, the intellectual realm, the soulless realm, the mind realm. That's where the battleground is. The battle is the mind, is the area of the mind. So he uses deceptive thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to sway you and to deceive you and to believe the lie, to yield to fear, which is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym. And then the enemy comes against our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, to bring circumstantial resistance and fearful thoughts to dissuade us and to pressure you and I away from our belief system's investment in the Word of God. That translation is F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart, faith. It's your belief system's investment into the Word of God. So he tries to sway you and dissuade you and me and deceive us to take our investment out of the Word of God, what we believe, to what we see and what we feel. And the negative images that he gives us in our minds at the moment. Y'all getting something out of this today? See, our faith is to be our belief system's investment in the word that does what? Makes us make a firm, decided choice to believe. So you almost have to fight to say, I choose to believe God versus what I see or what I feel. I choose to believe the word of God. The word of God said it, I choose to believe it. Because faith is a force, but faith is a choice. It's a firm, decided choice. Secondly, we make our verbal acknowledgement and affirmation of your belief by confidently speaking it out loud through your lips and by saying what you are believing to receive. How you doing? What you doing about that situation, sister? Well, according to the Word of God, I believe what the Word of God says. I don't think about it. This is my brain. These are my thoughts. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. So I choose to take his thoughts, and I choose to do his ways. Amen? I choose to believe the word of God. And you tell everybody you see. I don't care if they're your closest friend. No, I believe in God. I know you're telling me how bad it is, but I'm telling you how good my God is. Amen. He even said in Mark 11:23, talk to the mountain. One of the talks you have with your mountain, meaning a big problem, a mountainous issue, or something very seemingly impossible, you talk to your mountain about God. Let me talk to you, mountain. You know who my God is? Let me tell you who my God is. And so you got to talk. You got to talk. You got to talk, which affirms and acknowledges what you believe and who you believe in. And we often said, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. Number three, talk, taking bold and fearless action steps of obedience that correspond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the light you've received to take the next step and act upon the word, on the word of God. Faith is an act. Faith is your belief in action. So there's usually sometimes action steps that you have to, by faith, obey. In other words, like Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman said one time, who's a medical doctor, became a healing missionary and evangelist, she said, God delights in his children stepping out over the aching void with nothing under their feet but the word of God. Then what if you step out, you're stepping out on his word. You're not stepping out on what you see and what you feel. Come on now. You're taking an act of faith. Simple definition, for example, financially, what Charles Capps did one time, he was trying to pay off bills, and he's speaking to that mountain of debt. He piled up his bills. He said, debt, I'm calling you canceled, dissolved, and you will disappear and be paid in full. You speak to those bills. Then he wrote, him and his wife wrote a check out for each one of them. But they didn't send the check in because it would have been a fake check, not a faith check. Fake, F-A-K-E. And so what they did is they put it in a drawer. We're believing that we'll receive the money that will make that check valid to pay off that bill. Corresponding actions. Your faith has to act. Sometimes you got to ask the Lord, Lord, what's the next step here in this faith process? So what are some of the hindrances to doing those things? Friends, if there's a fight to faith, there are enemies and hindrances to faith. Because the devil doesn't want you to get in faith. Because when you get in faith, you win. If you hold him and what he's doing in your life in the faith realm, in the faith arena, you'll whip him 100 times out of 100. You'll go undefeated. But if he can get you in the reason realm, in the mental realm, in the emotional realm, he'll whip you 100 times out of 100. That's why Christians, good people, good Christians lose out and operate in defeat and destruction because they're not in faith. Are y'all here today? Y'all listen to me today. So Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't get faith from your friends and other people of other sources. The only source for faith is by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That means you got to get the word of God in you. And it's got to be revealed to you. It's got to dawn and register on your spirit. See, the lack of faith comes from the lack of knowledge of God's word. Why? Because faith is based upon knowledge. Revealed knowledge of God and his word. Faith is not based on information. You can't read enough of the Bible with your mind and keep your mouth closed and look at things for hours with your eyes and expect faith to come. Faith comes by hearing. Whew, faith comes by hearing. Some of us aren't hearing enough of the word of God. That's how faith comes. That means it's got to move your mouth. It's got to come out of your own mouth. Now, you believe yourself quicker than anybody else. So you can school yourself into faith by speaking the word of God. That's why we say read the Bible out loud. Don't read it with just your ocular vessels. Read the Bible so your own ear flaps can hear it. because that's a way to trigger it down into your spirit. Hallelujah. It's based on revelation knowledge, higher, advanced spiritual knowledge of the Word of God. You got to stick with that scripture that the Holy Spirit said, that's your answer right there. That's where you're going to get faith from. You might have to read it 10 times. And then all of a sudden, it unpacks for you. It comes unclosed off to you. You see it. You say, I see it. Not with the mind per se only, but you see it, or your eyes, with the eyes of your spirit. It registers on your heart. Well, faith cometh. Hallelujah. So you might have to go around sometimes and say Philippians 4:19. 10, 15 times, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. You got to hear it. You got to look at it. You got to read it. You got to hear it. Come on now. You got to put faith in, and maybe the 15th time or the 10th time, you say, everything's going to be fine. All of my needs are met with heaven's best. I believe I receive. You might have to put 1 Peter 2:24 over and over again. By his stripes, ye were what? Healed. Until you know that you know that you know that healing belongs to you. It's mine. I'll take it now. I'll take it back from you, Mr. Devil. Hallelujah. You can take back the sickness and disease. Praise God. See, where knowledge stops, our faith stops. Where our knowledge stops, faith stops. And where faith begins, where the will of God is known. You got to know what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What does God say about this? To every question and every situation, what does the Word of God say? Because you got to have faith in that situation. If you don't, you're not going to please God. You're not going to receive from God. And you're not going to overcome. That's how important it is. So many times, don't lack faith at all. Sometimes they just need to release their faith because they fail to release it and put it into motion or put it to work. In other words, they have faith. They just aren't exercising it or releasing it. The real reason for lack of faith is the lack of knowledge of God's word. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing. So the lack of knowledge will hinder us and hold us in bondage because we cannot act upon God's word beyond actual knowledge of it. Because we don't know what to do, how to do, when to do it, until it's revealed to us. See, if your faith's not growing, friends, then your understanding of the word is not growing. Amen. So hindrance number one, and maybe we'll just cover this one. Or maybe just two. Lack of understanding regarding the new creation. This is a big one, guys. Church family, this is a big one. If you don't keep top of mind awareness of who you are in Christ, your understanding of the new creation, that I'm a new creation. See, a lot of things that come across the airways, even Christian teaching, so-called Christian teaching, and the only limit God's work in your life as the forgiveness of sins. That's incomplete. You're just not a forgiven sinner. You've been born again. Hallelujah. See, the first hindrance of faith is the lack of understanding what it means to be a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, where? In Christ. Not just in church. In Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. We often said if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. And the first crisis you're in is an identity crisis because you don't know who you are. And when you don't know who you are, you act like who you're not or act like something or someone else. You belong to God. You're a new creation. Like David Ingle says, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I can't sing like David. Hallelujah. You got to go around saying that to yourself and reminding yourself every day. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. And in Christ, every day is a new day. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by what day? So you get renewed in Christ's reality for today, for tomorrow, for the next day, as you get in Christ it. And the lack of understanding of the new creation, who the new creation, what the new creation is, and what it means to be a new creature in Christ can hinder and believe, hinder the believer's faith life. Unfortunately, many believers don't know that they are new creations or new creatures in Christ, which is someone new in kind, new in quality, a brand new species of being. They just think and believe that God just forgave them of our sins. So they still identify with their color, their culture, their classification, their credentials. Can we keep going? Their creed, all the C's, but the, not the big C, Christ. Their identifications, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Hispanic, I'm this, I'm that, I got this. And so they're identifying with all that stuff that Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I count that as dung, as cow dung, like cow patties out there in the field. He said that's dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom I've suffered the loss of all things. You got to know that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been born again. Don't just go around and dummy down and water down your salvation to just forgiveness of sins. You'll never act as an overcomer. You'll never talk like a faith, a man, a woman of faith. Because you're thinking, I just got to beg God to clean up my mess all the time. Oh, this is hot today. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know that you're a new creation in Christ. You belong to God. So it wouldn't help us, friends, if we all fight, get in the fight of faith, or help the sinner a bit in the world if the sinner reached all he received was forgiveness of sins, because he'd still go to hell. That's why the resurrection had to occur. He didn't just die for our sins. He rose from the dead. He overcame all the cause of sin, sickness, Satan, shame, sorrow. And he rose from the dead triumphant. And everything God wanted to do for mankind, he did it in Christ. And he put you and me in him. You're a new creation. You're so brand new, you have to introduce yourself to yourself. You have to look in the mirror and say, who is that person? You say, that's a man or a woman in Christ. And take some time and digest that and think about that and determine to meditate on that and confess that I'm a new creation in Christ. Don't confess what a lot of religious teachings are watering down is to a beggarly type of salvation or beggarly gospel where we're walking around saying, I'm just forgiven. You're more than just forgiven. You have been made brand new in Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody said glory to God. You've been made brand new. Everybody say, I'm a brand new creature in Christ. Because when you start really receiving the fact in the spiritual reality that I'm a child of God, you stop acting like a child of the devil or just as a child of your parents with all their tendencies and idiosyncrasies that maybe trickle down into you. Because that's all people identify. Well, that's who I am. That's what my family pedigree or family traits are. You're more than that. Hallelujah. You got to believe and receive your in Christ reality, your new creation status every single day. So you got to think about it. When's the last time I've said and declared with boldly that I'm a new creation in Christ? See, if you don't ever acknowledge it, you'll never appropriate it and assess it. I'm a new creation in Christ. But see, old things are passed away. See, some of us even lean back to our old fleshly tendencies. We like that old rock and roll music, hip-hop, rhythm and blues. You know, our flesh gets to moving. Maybe I want to go to a club. Maybe I want to go out and just slip and dip and trip a little bit. But see, if you knew that you were a new creation, you wouldn't want to do it. Because you only would want to do what God wants you to do. You said, I don't have a desire for that. I don't have a desire for adultery anymore. I don't have a desire for dancing to worldly music anymore. Let me dance in the spirit. I don't have a desire to do those kinds of things. Why? Because I'm a new creation in Christ. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the nature of God in me. I've got the ability of God in me. Like David Ingalls used to sing that song. I can't sing very well, so I'll just try to make it work. I've got the life of God. You should be washing the dishes around the house, vacuuming the floor. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his power, life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. You got to announce it. I've got the power of God in me. Because God didn't create you a powerless new creature. An unrighteous new creature. You're a new creation made in his image and in his likeness. The God of the universe. The God of glory. The God who's Lord of all. That's who you belong to. That's who you're an offspring of. Let's read this last scripture and we'll kind of wind this down. I guess we just got one hindrance. We got five more to go. So. 2 Peter 1:4. Y'all getting something out of this? 2 Peter 1:4. By which you have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might be partakers of what? Divine nature. That means you walk and talk and act like God. Why? Because you're a child of God. You don't act like you're a beggar, a worm, an outcast. You walk and talk and act like God because God is a faith God. God is a God of glory, and that's how you live. You live in his presence. You live in his power. You live in his manifested goodness. Hallelujah. Why? You escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we receive the life of God, the nature of God, the ability of God in us, our newborn recreated human spirits. That's what's on the inside. You have to unwrap the gift of in Christ every day. We are new creatures created by God in Christ Jesus with the very life, nature of God in our spirits. We are the children of God, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Let's look at Romans 8:17. We're heirs of God, joint heirs. That means you get an heir of God. Now, he didn't say you're an heir apparent. You're an heir. Right now, present tense heir. That means if some of us know how to work the system a little bit better than others, perhaps. But you know when somebody dies, if they have an insurance policy, they have beneficiaries that inherit. And if they have an estate, they inherit the estate. They have to probate the will and all that kind of stuff, do all that stuff to get the estate. But who are we an heir of? Not heir apparent. We're waiting for somebody to die. Jesus has already died. And he's rose again, and he's the mediator. He's the testator of the New Testament. Come on now. He is the one who is the mediator but of a better covenant established on better promises. And he says, if we be children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with who? Well, that means we're co-equal heirs. We would say, I'm an heir of God. Now, your faith has to say, and your faith has to take, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. So that you can be glorified together with him. Amen. So most people don't know they have eternal life. They think of themselves only being saved from sin. So stop thinking that way as we close. Stop thinking that way. Turn around and tell somebody next to you. Smile real nice and say, stop thinking that you're just a forgiven sinner. And you've just been saved from sin. You know when you start thinking that way, when you stand, the struggle is real. And most of your conversation is about your problems and your pain and your pressure. Why don't you talk about the promises? Why did you talk about the prophecies? Why don't you talk about God's power? Because you don't know that you're a new creation in Christ, that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written to you, that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Everybody say, "I have eternal life." See, some religion teaches you you're going to get eternal life, everlasting life then. But in Christ, you realize as a new creation, I have eternal life in me now. I've got the life of God in me. I got Zoe, the eternal life of God. That you won't know you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for